Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Alongside me is Carlos Ortiz, Marco Belletti on the updates tonight. It is the Thursday of March Madness. I literally woke up and turned on the basketball, and I've been watching basketball all day. And it's been a very good day because this is fun. There is a clip that was going around from Oppenheimer where the philosophy is it shouldn't be like in comparison to the NBA. The NBA is much better than college basketball. And if you want to have that argument, we can. But it's an imperfect thing, but this is the perfect thing. This is great. March Madness is great. Have you ever experienced this before? Am I the first one to explain to you how great this is? There's few things better. I mean, the Super Bowl's better, right? The NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup, these things are, the World Series, these things have to be better. We like those things more. But this is great. I am falling in love with people I've never even heard of. And that's what's great about this tournament. You may have a team you're rooting for because of an alma mater, because of some other ties, usually with the brackets. And I don't, look, I'm so like scarred. It's not that I'm scarred. It's that sometimes things happen to me. Or I see something, and then it really sticks with me, and it shouldn't, and I wish I could eject it out of my brain. But there was one time where March Madness started, and like 5 minutes into the tournament, nothing had even happened yet. And I saw somebody else, he's from a radio show, he's doing a bit. He says, well, my bracket's busted. And he, like, took a lighter to his bracket and set it on fire. And I thought, this is so stupid. My bracket's busted. It's the first day. Unless you don't have the champion, or, like, if the champion goes down. But usually the team you took to be a champion is not going to get beat on the first day. And on the rare days where a number one seed goes down or a number two and they were your champion, like, a lot of other people's brackets are busted, too. If you lose a team that you had going to the Sweet 16, your bracket is not busted. You're not going to get 16 for 16. If you lose a team that you had going to the Elite Eight, your bracket's not busted. There's plenty of other things that can happen. Now, if you lose a team that you had going to the Final Four, Your bracket might be busted if you lose it that early. And so as much as I hate it, as much as I detest it, as much as I've been saying I detest it, I am here to proclaim that my bracket is busted. Clemson, we did a fix last night. I took Clemson to the Final Four. Why? Why? There's like more opportunities to lose for Clemson than at any other point. For anybody else in this bracket. Now, the team they faced today was McNeese State. And McNeese State is coached by Will Wade. And Will Wade's already going to take the NC State job. That's what he's going to do. But yet he is staying with the school through this tournament. And I don't like when coaches... I don't like when they do this. I don't like how it's like 2 years and then you jump, and that's why I root for the players, or at least think the players should have that opportunity as well. But it's weird now that he's continuing to stay with the team. Of course the players, they're not going to look at that and say, coach, screw you. The players feel like, hey, we helped him get this new job. Let's have a run. Of course McNeese State was going to be Clemson today. And then if Clemson won, they'd lose to Purdue. And then if Clemson won that game, they'd lose to either Houston or Gonzaga, who won today. What the hell am I doing? Another team I invested a lot in is Missouri, and they're currently down by 6 with a minute to go. So it's been a very thrilling day. The Clemson and McNeese State game at this point has been the highlight of that. But we have seen some good stuff up to this point, and it looks like we'll continue to see some good stuff here tonight as upset alert, Omaha's got a 7-0 lead over St. John's. So let's lock into that one, folks. 7-0 with 37 minutes to go in the game. So here's what we've seen so far, day one of March Madness. So many things to talk about regarding this. Want to take a look at the NBA draft in terms of which players are you able to watch now that you might hear their name called again later this summer. And this year's mock drafts, the mock drafts I've been seeing, they do lead themselves to maybe you'll see some more kids out of college. You know, last year there's Alex Saar and Zachary Richaché and some of these guys that they play overseas and we don't know them as much, and so it's hard to be connected. This year there's more guys that could be drafted high, top 10, top 5. Obviously, Cooper Flagg, most likely the number one overall pick out of Duke, who seems to be full systems go for tomorrow after a scary injury in the ACC tournament. So that is something we can look at later. North Carolina, I think, could be the most compelling sort of story in this. I think when you looked at the women's tournament last year, it was obviously boosted by the presence of Caitlin Clark. The men's tournament last year was lacking in anything close to that. Cooper Flagg could be one of those guys, knowing that he'll probably go number one. But now North Carolina, with how they were probably supposed to be out, how they got in, and the controversy surrounding that, that leads to a very good story and something to watch as well. And already numbers are in with the first four, and it was one of the most watched, if not the most watched, first four games we've ever seen. I'll get into that in a little bit here as well. The number one seeds that have played today had no problem. Houston all over SIU Edwardsville. That was a 38-point win for Houston. The Cougars move on. Auburn was tested early by Alabama State. First half, things were a little shaky. And Alabama State was in that play-in tournament, and there was some thought that, you know, with nothing to lose, they could test Auburn, who Bruce Pearl's been very boisterous, one of those, both of those, about his team. Looked like we might be in for a ripe upset alert, and then Auburn was able to slowly but surely pull away and win by 20. So the number one seed safe that have played so far today. Again, St. John's is in action against Omaha. They're the number two seed in action, but you also had number two seeded Tennessee have no problem with Wofford. They won by 15 points. The three seeds today, Texas Tech plays in the final game tonight against UNC Wilmington, and then Wisconsin was able to beat Montana 85-66. Number four seed Purdue, little shaky for a while against High Point late in the second. Purdue was able to get it done. They won 75-63. Another four seed Texas A&M beat Yale 80-71. And then the five seeds, Michigan, UC San Diego. This game starts relatively soon. Should tip off any moment now. This is a 5-10 matchup, and maybe we should have looked at Clemson as, you know, the ripest one, because we always get the 5-12 matchups, and we always get the 5-12 upsets. And this is one where a lot of people have picked as an upset. UC San Diego's coming in with what I believe is the longest winning streak in college basketball, Division I, into this tournament. They've also done very well against good competition and have done very well against the spread, if that matters. Michigan just came off of a Big Ten championship, probably should be higher than 5 for winning the tournament, but it's just so clear now that that tournament ends like 7 seconds before the selection committee show starts. They do not care about who wins that Big Ten tournament. Michigan, a 5 seed, beat Wisconsin, a 3 seed, who beat Michigan State, a 2 seed. So none of that seems to matter. That game coming up in a little bit. Number 6, Missouri is about to go down by Drake. So that one is going to be one of the bigger upsets today, an 11 over a 6. Drake is currently up 66-57 with free throws remaining. And then you had BYU take care of VCU earlier today. BYU, a quick get down the floor kind of team. They won 80-71. 7 seeds in action today. You saw Kansas lose to Arkansas. That was a really interesting game. That game just wrapped up. Arkansas, and this is how crazy college basketball is. Really basketball in general, but especially this time in the tournament. Arkansas was up by 11 points at one point. And then Kansas stormed back. They switched from man to a zone. And it's Bill Self versus John Calipari on the sidelines. And then Arkansas didn't look like they could do anything. And it looked like, for sure, Kansas was going to win this game. And there was no way Arkansas was going to score another point. And then in an instant, that just flipped. And then Arkansas won by 7, 79-72. So 10-7, those are always tough to be an upset. You can consider it an upset. It's a 10 over a 7. It's the first time Kansas has lost in the first round since, I want to say, 2006. UCLA right now with the lead over Utah State by about a dozen in the first half. And then the 8-9 matchups today. Creighton took care of Louisville to get the action started, 87-75. And then Gonzaga had a huge lead right away, like a 21-3 lead or something over Georgia. And they have moved on, winning 89-68. And that sets them up with a matchup against Houston, which they very well could likely win. So if you're looking at these 1 seeds, Florida plays tomorrow. You've got Duke playing tomorrow. Auburn, a scare today. They'll have Creighton coming up this weekend. I would still feel safe about Auburn, but Houston could be in some trouble with one of these March darlings in Gonzaga. That certainly looks to be the team that could upset the apple cart a little bit. But McNeese State over Clemson, the big upset today. Their school website crashing today with everybody so excited. What they're calling the biggest win that they have had with Coach Will Wade, who again is set to dip out relatively soon and go to NC State. So it's interesting so far what we've seen. Again, the games tonight, as we're going to kind of follow through this, Missouri-Drake was very interesting. Michigan and UC San Diego just getting tipped off. Texas State shouldn't have too much of a problem with UNC Wilmington. And then Omaha against St. John's. So this is the old parallel that I faced today. I was very upset that Clemson lost, for I had them very far in the bracket. It kind of takes a little bit of the buzz out of things, you know, when you have a team like that loses. I also had Missouri not. I'm done. I am done. That sucks. I had Missouri to the Elite Eight. Great. I'm done. I'm torched. This is stupid. Is anybody doing a second chance bracket? And can that start for Friday? Can we do a bracket where we just don't do the Thursday brackets? That, I think, could be a good business model for people that have many, many regrets about what they did. But my son got into it. Yeah, my son got into it. He's 5 years old. I did make him fill out a bracket. We sat there and did it. He took the favorites in pretty much every matchup. But he did take Wisconsin to go all the way. So that bracket is still alive, because I don't know how many people took the Badgers as a 3 seed to get it done. So a great day of watching basketball. It'll pick up again tomorrow. We'll have that on Saturday. We'll have that on Sunday. And it's been really fun. I think this time also we want to see a lot of upsets. So the Clemson-McNeese State game was fun. Clemson actually was like dead, done, not coming back. And then they started to come back. To only lose by 2 was an achievement in and of itself. Probably would have been better off winning, but an achievement in and of itself. And so it was fun watching it with the boy and what's going on. And we got into it. And but the 13 first half points for Clemson. Look at that. McNeese first half, 31 points, Clemson 13. Clemson outscored McNeese 54-38 in the second. So they outscored themselves by 39 from half number two to half number one. So again, the games in action that we will be following tonight, UCLA and Utah State, that's at the half. St. John's and Omaha tied at 10 with 12 to go in the first. Michigan an early 8-0 lead over UC San Diego, and Texas Tech UNC Wilmington coming up in a little bit. Speaking of UNC, just UNC, this, I believe, has the makings to be the story of the tournament. Just how far will a team that should not be there go? And the more details you find out about what happened there, or at least who it's benefiting, the more head-scratching it does become. Remember, Bubba Cunningham is the AD for North Carolina. He is on the selection committee. Not only that, he is the head of it. They have claimed that when they were talking about North Carolina, he left the room. But that doesn't mean that he wasn't in there disparaging any other team that could have been a bubble team in the process. You know he did the work that he needed to do, especially with how much it's going to benefit him. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. The phone number is new. We've got a new phone number for you as of Monday. I don't know how long we can say it's new. Definitely this first week. Definitely into week two. But either way, I will make sure that I say it so that you can hear it, so that you can write it down or put it in your phone. It is 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. That's 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll be back. Plenty of tournament to talk about tonight, and we'll do it with you here live on the Bart Winkler Show.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
We are underway with March Madness. McNeese, 69, a 12 seed. Clemson, 67. A 5 seed. You heard the final call there, courtesy the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network, and McNeese State advances on after, again, their win over Clemson. They will take on Purdue, who topped off High Point today. We like the interesting thing with these 2 days, and then Saturday, Sunday, is we love to watch a 12 beat a 5, you know, and we love to watch a 13 beat a 4. But then when we get into Saturday and it's like, oh, it's a 12 versus a 13. I mean, it's really cool that one of those teams automatically, they're one of those teams, a double digit seed, is going to be in the Sweet 16. They just got to play it out. But it's not as exciting. Now it's more exciting because can the 12 seed knock off a 4? And can the Cinderella ride continue? When a Cinderella is beating other Cinderellas, I don't quite think that's Cinderella type in nature. I don't know that I would call North Carolina a Cinderella. They are an 11 seed. Well, maybe they're the ultimate Cinderella. Maybe they're the ultimate Cinderella. We know the story, what happened there. They were like the one team that everyone agreed shouldn't get into this tournament. They were 1-12 against quad one opponents. And normally there are those kind of statistics for us to talk about. Normally there are the, like, what's the net? What's the RPI? What's the KenPom? Normally there's all these different things that we can do, and we can say they shouldn't have been in, they should have been in, they shouldn't have been in. And we don't have a clear, like, answer all the time for what should the case have been. But in this case, there was a different wrinkle, a wrinkle we really haven't seen before, where the North Carolina athletic director, Bubba Cunningham, was not just on the selection committee, but the head of the selection committee. And I don't know why that can't be an independent person, why it's got to be somebody that's an athletic director from a school? I mean, there's obviously going to be biases that come in. Whenever you throw a bunch of ADs together, are there going to be biases? And I've seen this at the most micro level. Like, you want to get into where politicking, you want to get into where that is the most extreme, is go to a seating meeting of a state tournament bracket for high school hoops. Football too, perhaps. But these coaches, man, they come with their agendas. You know, they want other schools to get better seeds so it makes them look good and then they can get a better seed. They want some schools out. They'll play favors sometime to their conference opponents. Sometimes they'll actually be more dismissive of their conference opponents. It gets pretty nasty in those rooms. And so if you've got a bunch of ADs that are trying to figure out who should be in, there's obviously going to be bias. Why this was the most extreme, we're not talking about like, oh my God, North Carolina was a 5. They shouldn't have been higher than an 8. North Carolina got in. Which now the intrigue becomes, how far are they going to go? And so I do think they have become one of the, if not most, the most intriguing things of this tournament. So they had that first 4 game the other night. It was against San Diego State. These are two at-large teams. These are two 11 seeds that are trying to play for the right to play on Friday against Ole Miss as the 6 seed. So that was what was on the line the other night. And also some money. Another reason for Bubba Cunningham to try to do everything he can to make sure his team is in this tournament. Because should they get in and win, which they did, that win earned the ACC $2 million as part of March Madness unit, the unit's payout system. So the ACC as a whole got $2 million from the tournament. This is where the money goes for UNC making the tournament. They got another $2 million for them to win. That's why I don't like that the 16 teams, I keep getting this wrong, the 16 seeds, I always say 16 teams. I don't like that the 16 seeds had to play each other right away. And there'd probably be more eyeballs if it was more name brand, certainly. But the teams don't mind it because that counts as a tournament win, which counts as the $2 million that they get, or whatever the money is for each conference, they get that. Otherwise, they would just go be fed to a number one team and not get a bonus. They get the money for getting in, but they have no opportunity to get a bonus for winning a game. So they don't hate it. They don't hate it. For us, it feels like, oh, they're not really in the tournament, but they are making money off of it. The further that North Carolina advances, the more money they can make for UNC. So if you're the AD of a school, you probably want your team to make money, not just for the school, but for the conference. So you do what you can to get them in. And that's it. It is as cut and dry as that. Oh, but wait a minute. Bubba Cunningham, the athletic director who was on the selection committee as the head, personally received a $68,000 bonus for making the tournament. I mean, this is sketch. I don't know how you can not think it is. And even if it's not sketch, I mean, it's always going to be sketch. It's just sketchy. There's nothing that you can do about it to make it not sketchy. Even if North Carolina wins the tournament, the fact that they were in was sketchy. They were the last team in, the guys on the head of the committee, and all of these are fine, I guess. But if they are fine, then the guy's making a bunch of money. So he also gets a bonus should they continue to make a further run. He would get the highest of whatever the bonuses are. If they make the Sweet 16, he gets an additional $50,000 bonus. If North Carolina makes the Final Four, Bubba Cunningham gets another $75,000. And if they win the title, that's another $100,000. So he would get, if they win the title, he just gets the $100,000, not the other ones along the way. But he's already made 68 extra K, 1/12 of his $800,000 salary is how they factor that out. When you get in, you make money. And then the further they go, if they start getting into the Sweet 16, maybe Final Four and win the title, he's got more money that he can get there too. So it is an odd thing. But that kind of drama and that kind of, I guess, allure is intriguing. Because now what has happened is, it's not just March Madness, the NCAA hating that this is happening. No, they've already benefited from it in terms of the ratings. So on Tuesday night, True TV, which you people still claim to not know where it is, they drew a combined 3.6 million viewers for the games on Tuesday night, including 2.2 million who watched UNC beat San Diego State. This is a record number for first four coverage on a Tuesday night. You know, we know the tournament starts on Thursday. We'll watch the first four if we get around to it. But this gave us an added reason to watch, and people watched. The 2.2 million viewers for that victory are up 26% from last year's Colorado State-Virginia game. The 3.6 total Tuesday number is up 21%. That was also the night that had Alabama State, who has lost. That was the night that they beat St. Francis on a dramatic last-second layup buzzer beater. So UNC now has Ole Miss. This is a 6-11 matchup. That'll be 4 Eastern on Friday, 1 Pacific. And if they advance, they're going to take on the winner of Iowa State and Lipscomb on Sunday. We don't know what games are going to be on what channel yet, but that would probably be a game that would be on CBS. North Carolina is already a name brand. They are already a college basketball blue blood. But so is Kansas, and so is UConn, and there's, you know, intrigue with some of these teams, but are we making sure and making a point to watch these games? For North Carolina, there is added incentive to watch this team because there's the added storyline and, like, they shouldn't be their nature of being in the tournament. This is something that the men's tournament was lacking a year ago. They've also got the Cooper Flagg, number one overall pick, most likely. They've got that potential. There's other players that you're going to watch that are going to be drafted very high. So if you get to the NBA draft, if you're a big NBA fan and you're like, I never know these guys, you're right. We don't have the 4 years of them being baked in to college basketball to know who these guys would be. But we do have the opportunity to look at a mock draft, see what the names are, see who they're playing for, and watch them now. So we do have a little bit of a taste for the names that are going to be called later this summer. These are all things that the men's tournament was missing a season ago. I think the women's tournament is going to have a successful year as well. They certainly won't reach the numbers they did with the hype around Caitlin Clark in Iowa. But what that was able to do is create new stars. Paige Beckers being one of them. Juju Watkins being one of them. And many more stars being created. So we'll have eyes on that for sure. That might happen a little deeper into the tournament. I don't know that people are rushing to watch USC or UConn's first round games like they made sure to last year with Iowa. I could be wrong. I mean, I'm not wrong. It won't be as high as the Iowa numbers, but it certainly will be a larger number than 2 years ago. I think that women's college basketball got a huge boost last year. I do think that will continue. We'll look at last year as a big blip, but I think we'll continue to see a steady climb up with a nice boost from what did happen a season ago. So the NCAA tournament on the men's side is in full swing. The women's first four is underway, and the tournament will start itself tomorrow. We'll have a lot of updates throughout the night, of course, on both of those things and throughout the weekend, all here on the Infinity Sports Network, which has a new phone number to reach us. It's 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. And you can call in throughout the night. Right now, it's an update. It's Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Pegues, right wing for the win! Yes!
The biggest voices in sports.
He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants.
The heartbreak.
And he misses it. That's impossible.
The celebrations.
Got him swinging! That's it! It's a World Series win for LA!
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right, it's the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show. It is Thursday, March 20th, 2025.
Carlos!
Yes?
Hey, buddy.
Hi.
How's your bracket doing?
Other than McNeese screwing me like everybody else, I'm actually doing pretty good.
Yeah, I'm cooked.
Yeah, no, I heard every word you said. You're finished. I also did have Missouri, so that's not great for me. But, you know, I did take Creighton. I forgot who else I have off the top of my head. But I'm doing okay. I'm seventh in this one bracket challenge that I joined. So
the new mission for tonight is for Omaha to beat St. John's. Because I put $5 on it to win like $70.
All right, so that's what I asked you earlier, because you told me, I'm like, just $5. I'm like, what were you going to get? And you never answered me. So I'm glad we have an end goal here.
Yeah, it's not like $5 to make 20. It's not $5 to make 500. But if I could get a little $70 and also have everybody kind of start shutting up about St. John's, it wouldn't be the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my life.
The city here would be in shambles. I live in Queens. St. John's is only 15 minutes away. Again, I drink the tears of everybody because I'm an agent of chaos. And, whoa, what a block, though. Good block. All right, let's not watch the games. Let's actually talk about McNeese, since I did mention them and they screwed everybody, except for, like, the two people that picked them. Here is McNeese head coach, soon to be former head coach, because he is jumping ship to go to North Carolina State, Will Wade. He says him leaving at the end of the year has not been a distraction.
I've been focused on the game. I mean, I'll tell you, I've been on one about the game. I mean, so whatever else is happening, that's of no distraction to us. I know everybody else, thinks that there's distractions and stuff. We operate the same way all the time.
It's weird because normally when you put in your 2 weeks, you like, don't care about anything.
It's the most unproductive 2 weeks a human can do.
Yeah. When I was done at my TV station, I put in 2 weeks, and they were just switching over to, like, a new editing software. And I'm like, you're going to make me learn this for the 2 weeks I'm going to be here? So I kept using the old analog that was three times as hard and three times as slow, but I didn't have the capacity to learn anything new. This tournament and this format and the way sports are, I mean, in some jobs, if you know you're gonna get fired in sports, you're like, all right, whatever, I got 2 weeks left. But this is like, he's still trying to win a championship or get a Sweet 16 on his resume or get a Final Four on his resume. Like, it's the complete opposite of what everybody else experiences when they're gonna leave a job at the end of the month. So it's interesting to see what that news does. I don't think it's nothing. And I believe him that he's trying not to let it be a distraction. But I wonder, is it helping the players? Are they upset? But anything to help them rally. I mean, it worked today. Although they did almost collapse. Clemson was really shooting their way back into the game. That would have been as big of an upset as it was, it would have been a worse collapse. But good on McNeese. They got the victory, and they plow ahead.
Yeah, it's a perfect segue for me. I appreciate the layup, no pun intended. Because for every upset, there is a team on the other side that fell short of expectations. You know, it's called an upset for a reason. You're expected to win. So here's Clemson head coach Brad Brunell. He says he didn't have the team ready to play. He puts it all on himself.
We picked a tough day to not play our best. Certainly they had a lot to do with that. I didn't do a very good job with my guys. And, you know, we weren't really prepared for the zone demand. I haven't seen a lot of that this year, maybe a little bit with Stanford, and it bothered us.
They had 13 points in the first half. You know, there was one game, I forget which one it was, but they were talking about teams that are in power conferences that are in the big tournaments at the end. And it gets very chaotic, the adrenaline, and they're playing in front of, I mean, there's a, yeah, you like if you're in a Big Ten tournament or a ACC or SEC tournament, there's, you can lose in the championship and still be fine, or you can lose in the semis and still be fine, or if the SEC, you can basically, I mean, you're fine just for being in the conference except for two teams. But sometimes those tournaments are a more intense atmosphere than the first round of March Madness, because it's against a school you're not familiar with, that's not as big as you. It's in a random city for the most part, most of the time, to the two schools. I don't know what the travel base usually is, and it's not usually a full capacity arena. I don't know if Clemson was the victim of that today, but they were certainly the victim of something, much more than what the coach, I think, described, because there was a lot that went wrong. I mean, when you score 13 points and a half, man, there's a lot that goes wrong.
Yeah, it's not what you want. All right, let's go to a game that I did pick correctly, and that's Arkansas over Kansas. 79-72, your score there. John Calipari gets the win over Bill Self's Kansas Jayhawks. Here is John Calipari on a journey to team that it took to get to this point.
Each of them, in their own way, were in a dark place. And the battle they had was with themselves. They had to get through that first. Then they've had to figure out they needed each other. And now they're one heartbeat.
Him going to Arkansas, that was still such a big shock.
Yeah.
When that happened. I remember his opening quote. He says, "I met with the team. There is no team." He had to basically build this, and he's going to continue to keep building this, but to get a big win against Kansas. And yeah, they were seeded seventh, and that's lower than they've been in a long time. It's also their first-round exit since 2006, which is shocking. Just shows the strength and dominance of that program. But that was a heavyweight coaching matchup right away between Bill Self and John Calipari. So Arkansas advances, and should St. John's win, it'd be a Calipari-Patino matchup, which would be something.
Yeah, that's what I'm banking on. By the way, the audio was courtesy of CBS.
Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. I noticed somewhere someone was like, who the hell had that? Where can I attribute that to? So
thank you.
I want to make sure we get some housekeeping here. All right, again, on the other side, here's Bill Self. He talked about what went wrong in this game, why they lost.
We did a lot of the damage ourselves, but their length bothered us all night long. You know, we had open passes and couldn't pass over them, and they got steals or deflections off of plays that could potentially be layups for us.
They really looked like they had an opportunity to, at the end of that game, to pull out a victory. They were down by 11, okay? They came back. They were playing very well. But they did. KJ Adams Jr. Got hurt. They had to play a little bigger, but he like twisted his ankle and left, went straight to the locker room. And that's when the run for Arkansas started. So without that injury, maybe this is a different story tonight. But Kansas is done, and they'll have to try again next year.
Yeah, they will be fine. They typically are, you know, built for these tournaments. So Kansas is not like they're going to be demise. You know what I'm saying? It's like they're not going to disappear. We're not going to hear from them like 6 years later. I'm like, oh yeah, Kansas is back. No, they'll be just fine. I'm not crying any tears for them. All right, let's go to one of the games that could have been an upset, but Purdue wound up holding on against High Point, 75-63, your final there. Here is Matt Painter. He talked about when things got a little sketchy. So in the first half, it looked like they were good. Purdue was up by 10. But if you look at the second half scoring, Purdue only won 2 points. Luckily, again, final score, it was an 8. So Matt Painter talked about when the lead started to slip in the second half.
If you have that late game, it's torture. Yeah, for everybody. Like, if you haven't been through it, like, I think it'd be hard to understand that statement. But if you ask any coach just sitting there all day, and you got like a 10-10 start, it's the damnedest thing in the world.
Purdue, at one point, the lead was down to 4. And it looked like things could get pretty interesting for High Point. And they had the energy. Oh, no, it got down to 3. They got down to three with 7 minutes to go. So that got pretty interesting there. They were able to play a little earlier, though. These later games, what's the one that just tipped off here? UNC Wilmington against Texas Tech. Yeah, you've got a game right now. However late it is right now, it's almost 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. There's a game that is only 4 minutes young. And that's always interesting about these Thursday and Friday games.
All right, one last one here. Right up your alley, literally in your neck of the woods. Your boys look good. Wisconsin Badgers took care of Montana 85-66. So here is head coach Greg Gard. Talked about what the team needs to get better for the next game.
Careless turnovers at times, man, and we had two late there in the last minute, two or three. And as a coach, I'm always, you know, my expectations are never met in that regard. So I always want us to take care of the ball. We were a little choppy at times offensively in the first half. And I don't know if JT really got going. Tanjay got to the line. I think we'll shoot it better. I think, and just get into a rhythm.
Here's what I want you to know about Wisconsin. If you picked them, if you didn't, if you followed college basketball the last 20 years, whatever you think about them is not the case anymore. They like rely on the 3-point shot. They didn't make a ton today, 7 out of 23. Montana actually took more threes than them, 7 for 24. But this Badger team that would be known to really just milk the clock now puts up like 35 threes a game. On a low point. So expect the Badgers next time you see them to be come out firing. They get the win over Montana. We'll come back, talk a little more hoops. Got a Bartometer coming up next.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.